Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
The magic of American football spreads across the globe on this date because this episode of Football's History Headlines, we discuss the enshrinement of sweetness, Bill Walsh, Vince Lombardi, and the great Jim Brown, as well as more Hall of Fame legendary stories on this date, July 31st, and it's all coming up in a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history and the Sports History Network, your headquarters of sports yesteryear. We are sure glad that you joined us today. Really appreciate your listenership, and we are going to talk about the football history for this day, July 31st, and we have some great things to talk about. And let's get right at it. July 31st, 1970, in the Chicago College All-Star Game, a fan base of 69,940 at Soldier Field in Chicago witnessed a 24-3 drubbing by the Kansas City Chiefs over the College All-Stars. The MVP award, that always is given to the college players' team, happened to be Bruce Taylor, the Boston College defensive back. July 31st, 1982, teams from Germany, France, Austria, and Italy formed the American European Football Federation, or the AEFF. And we hope that that's still going strong. July 31st, 1971, according to the NFL.com article, Jim Brown and Vince Lombardi were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the state. Now, Jim Brown, he was such a prolific running back. He earned the NFL MVP award three different seasons, 1957 and 58 and 1965, and he was a nine-time Pro Bowl selection, eight-time first-team All-Pro, and a 1964 NFL champion with the Cleveland Browns. Now, for Coach Lombardi, oh, man, who can say anything more about them? The NFL Championship Trophy is named after this guy. And he was the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And altogether, his Packers teams won five championships, 1961, 62, and 65 NFL titles, as well as Super Bowls 1 and 2. And he ended up even coaching a year with the Washington Redskins before he died tragically of some kind of a form of cancer, I believe, at a young age. He was in his 50s. Now, July 31st, 1983, Walter Payton and Bill Walsh were inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We had a great running back with a coach combo that were enshrined in 1971. Well, 12 years later, you have another great running back and another great NFL coach inducted Pro Football Hall of Fame, also in an NFL.com website article. Now, Walter Payton, 1977 NFL MVP, and he led the NFL in both rushing yards and rushing scores. Sweetness, as he was called, was a nine-time Pro Bowl selection, also five-time first-team All-Pro, Super Bowl 20 champion, and once had the most yards rushing in NFL history. And he's currently second behind Emmitt Smith, who has 16,726 yards. Walter Payton's 110 rushing touchdowns are the fifth in most in NFL history, even to this day. Now, Bill Walsh, he was the head coach of the three-time Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers, 1979, 1988, and 1981. AP Coach of the Year. Just a tremendous coach there, too. Great coaches, great running backs, put in the Pro Football Hall of Fame very deservedly on all four of those gentlemen, along with all the other ones that were winning those days. But those are the headlining names. Now, we got some programming notes. Coming up, we have Leagues Colliding. Now, let's put a little bit of background because we're going to have some stories coming up in the next few days and weeks here on some exhibition games that will be coming up on some future editions of this series. The CFL played the NFL in exhibition games. We've alluded to it a few times with some of our guests and some of our podcasts. Now, there were six of these such meetings from the year 1950 through 1961, and all were played north of the border. The NFL teams used them as preseason games, as all were played in the month of August, while the CFL touted them as an exhibition games played during the CFL regular season. Now, the CFL has a longer season. We had Greg James on just a few weeks ago, and he tells us the normal season goes from June until November, so this is sort of mid-season for them, and they would play these NFL teams, because remember, the NFL and the CFL, they had pretty similar paychecks that the players would get, and competition levels were a lot closer because they were able to get, you know, some of those star players from college would go to the CFL and vice versa. And some players were playing both leagues eventually in their careers. Now, without going into detail of the games right now, I will share with you that the NFL, unsurprisingly, led the series of 5-1 over the CFL in these interesting meetings in football history. Now, please look for the next history of the CFL-NFL matchup on the August 2nd edition of this series. So just got to wait a couple days, and you'll hear about that first exhibition game. Now, I think now's a good time to pause and take a few moments to listen to something from one of our sponsors. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of you unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus, get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Wow, those products from Row One, they are sweet. Make sure you take advantage of that 15% discount. Check out the show notes, how to get there if you happen to miss it. You can click on the show notes and get you right there. SHN15 is the code. July 31st, Hall of Fame birthdays, 1918, Haverhill, Massachusetts. Gene Goodrell, he was an end that played for Boston College from 1938 to 1940. And in 1982, Gene was inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame per his bio on the footballfoundation.org. He was renowned for his pass catching, run blocking, and sure tackling that led him to be a consensus All-American selection in 1940. And though he was selected in the 1941 NFL draft as a 15th player overall taken, he never played a down. Instead, he served in the United States Navy during World War II, and we thank him for that service and that sacrifice that he made of, instead of the glory of playing football, he was for the glory of his country. July 31st, 1919, Forrest Behm, the tackle for the University of Nebraska from 1938 to 1940, who was welcomed into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1988's induction class. The National Football Foundation says that Forrest, as a 5-year-old youngster, was badly burned in a brush fire. The doctors wanted to amputate his leg, but his father, Forrest E. Behm Sr., refused to allow this to occur, and the family did all they could for the youth. They sacrificed and waited on him hand and foot, nursed him into health, and for a year, the young Behm not even walk, but his parents persevered and gave him a daily massage, and miraculously, Forrest regained the use of all of his muscles in his legs. By 1940, he was a tackle on the Nebraska Rose Bowl team and named All-American by the NEA, the Newspaper Enterprise Association. What a great story that is, and I'm glad that his parents did not let them take his leg and helped them nurse him to good health. July 31st, 1962, New York, New York. Kevin Green, the Pro Football Hall of Fame outside linebacker, defensive end of the Rams, Steelers, Panthers, and 49ers. Mr. Green played 15 seasons in the NFL, and his 160 sacks ranks third in NFL history since the stats were started in 1982, and fourth overall if you count in Deacon Jones's total with that new thing that they have in a Pro Football Reference where John Turney and Nick Webster got those older players, 1962. 116, 1981 totals, and their Deacon Jones actually is third now. Kevin Green with his 160 goes to fourth. But Kevin Green, still superior sack total. Kevin Green was born in New York, and attended and played college ball at Auburn University. And Kevin was listed on the Hall of Fame's All-1990s team and played in 5 Pro Bowl games and earned first-team All-NFL with 3 different teams, according to the Pro Football HOF.com website. And after hanging up his cleats, Green was an NFL outside linebackers coach for the Green Bay Packers for 5 seasons. And tragically, we lost him not too long ago with an untimely death. July 31st, 1968, Galveston, Texas. Andre Ware was a quarterback from 1987 to the 1989 season at the University of Houston, and that he was enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2004. Mr. Ware was drafted in the NFL by the Detroit Lions as the number one pick in the 1990 draft. This standout signal caller set NCAA records with 4,699 passing yards, 46 touchdowns in 1989. He averaged 427 passing yards per game as he guided Houston to a 9-2 record. In 3 years, Ware threw for 8,202 yards and 75 TDs. According to the NFL's bio, Andre Ware in 1989 won the Heisman Trophy, and his pro career lasted 4 seasons split between the NFL and the CFL. Great player there, too. July 31st, 1974, Jonathan Ogden, the tackle from UCLA. His outstanding gridiron play secured a place for him in both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and a College Football Hall of Fame. He played in the NFL for the Baltimore Ravens for 12 seasons, made the Pro Bowl 11 of those 12 seasons, according to the Pro Football's Hall of Fame's website. The site's bio article on Jonathan states, in 2003, he helped pave the way for running back Jamal Lewis, who became just the 5th player in NFL history to eclipse 2,000 yards rushing in a season, included in the total of 2,066 yards, and then the 2nd most ever in a season. And that was a record-breaking day against the Cleveland Browns on September 14th, 2003, where Ogden opened up holes for Lewis, who averaged nearly 10 yards a carry, to set a then record of 295 yards in a game. Now that is some powerful blocking. Now we also have another birthday of somebody pretty famous that's not yet in the Hall of Fame. In 1982, on this date, July 31st, linebacker DeMarcus Ware, who once played for the Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos, he was brought into this world that day. Now for more pro players that were born on July 31st, go to the ProFootballReference.com, click on July 31st, and you'll find all those there. And we thank Pro Football Reference for all their stats, including some of those sack totals we told you about, Deacon Jones, with John Turney and Nick Webster getting those numbers for Pro Football Reference. Now, if we missed anything that you see, please email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at pigskindispatch. We have a Pigskin Dispatch Facebook page, and you can always check us out on LinkedIn and the subreddit of sports history, our sports history. We are always on there, too. We appreciate you listening to us once again. We hope you'll tune in to the sportshistorynetwork.com and pigskindispatch.com to see all of our articles on football history, sports history. Network, of course, has all different kinds of podcasts and blog posts on all different sports all around the world. We hope you enjoy all of those. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network. Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour. How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.